Take your Bibles tonight. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Hebrews, chapter 12. As I had mentioned before, Pastor is in Lancaster, California tonight. He spoke this morning at the Spiritual Leadership Conference out there at the Lancaster Baptist Church. And they'll be concluding that tonight, and then he'll be on his way back home tomorrow. So keep him in your prayers as he travels back, and pray that Pastor's had a good time of just revival and relaxment and rejoicing and all those other good R words, rest and all that, okay? And I know that he'll come back Sunday ready to get back on that series on heaven, hell, and eternal life and the afterlife. So it's going to be good. Well, Hebrews chapter 12, we see here where the writer of Hebrews is really giving us an exhortation to faith and to godliness. And I want you to notice in verse number 1 as we read the passage of Scripture, it says this, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endureth such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." And just for the sake of time, skip on down to verse number 12. "Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Amen. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears." As you go through this 12th chapter of Hebrews, you see some very interesting things here. You notice, first of all, as I mentioned, that the writer is exhorting us to faith and godliness. The writer then tells us about who our example is. And who is our example? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that right? And then as we get down to verse number 3, he talks about Christ's suffering. Down in verse number 5, he talks about the chastisement as a mark of a son or a daughter of Christ. And then he talks about correction and the purpose of why God corrects us. He corrects us as children, isn't that right? Because he loves us. And then he gets down to verse number 12, and then he talks about the conduct of the believers. The conduct of you and I that know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. There is a way that we as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, or if I can use the word Christians, of how we're supposed to act and what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to be. But then he gets down to verse number 15 and he talks about this. He says, looking diligently. If you'll notice back in verse number 2, he says, looking unto Jesus. And then in verse number 15, he talks about this, looking diligently. It means he says, hey, see to it that you do this. See to it that this is a priority in your life, that this is important, that he wants us to pay close attention, pay diligent attention to this. And what does he say? Lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. I'm not really going to talk about a popular subject tonight. In fact, I really didn't want to talk about it at all. It's just kind of the way the Lord led. I actually had something else planned, and as I began studying more and more and more, this came out even more. But let me ask you a question tonight. Has someone ever said or done something to you which you found it difficult to forgive? Has someone done something or said something about you that you found yourself hard to forgive that person? Maybe they've done something to you. Maybe they said something to you. And maybe every time that their name is brought up, even if it was years ago, it still brings knots to your stomach. It makes you cringe a little bit. And when you think of them, your heart rate begins to increase. And you can feel your blood pressure rising when you think of what they did or what they said. It's as if you're reliving that hurt over and over and over and over again because you're thinking about it. If so, it may be that you're in bondage to bitterness. You're in bondage to bitterness. And by the way, let me say this. I believe it's a shame for us to be, as Christians, to be in bondage to bitterness. Because bitterness doesn't even touch the person that you're bitter for. But it will harm you with no exception. Like Frankenstein. This is an interesting illustration. I don't think I've ever used Frankenstein in a sermon illustration before, but listen to this. Like Frankenstein, bitterness is a monster that turns on its creator and causes eternal damage beyond compare. You know, the other person that you may be bitter at is continuing to live their life. In fact, they may be happy. They may not even know that they've done anything to you, but you inside your heart is still angry and mad at that person. And you know what they're doing? They're living rent-free in your mind. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 5, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You know, there are many emotions. Bitterness being an emotion. There are a lot of emotions that are not sinful. The Bible tells us that we can be angry and sin not. The Bible tells us that we can grieve, which is not necessarily sin. God gave us grief as a mechanism to handle loss and things like that. But grief, as we know, can turn into self-pity and it become a sin. But there is a human emotion that is always, without exception, a sin. And what is it? It's bitterness. It's bitterness. Bitterness and unforgiveness is always sin. Mark it down. Who is that person who comes to your mind? Who is that person to whom you hold bitterness? If you are honest with God, who is that person? Now, don't sit there tonight and try to reason it away or explain it away. Why? Because the Holy Spirit brought that person to your mind for a purpose. The Holy Spirit of God brings them to your mind because He loves you and He wants you to get rid of the cancer that is eating you from the inside out. It may have been last week. It may have been last month. It may have been a year ago. It may have been 5 years ago or 10 years ago or 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 years ago. But you've never really forgiven them. Who or what are you bitter about? And you might say, well, I don't really think about it too much. Not too much. Or somebody else, but you are thinking about it, and to be honest, there's no denial. Who is it that you're harboring bitterness about? So let me give you some observations about bitterness. First of all, this is not point number one, but let me just give you some observations before I get to my points. First of all, bitterness is sin and negatively affects others and ourselves. James chapter 3, verses 14, 15, and 16 says this, "But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual." Notice this, devilish. "For where envying and strife is, there is confusion of every evil work." Bitterness is a characteristic of the unsaved and is an unacceptable response to the believer. Now, if you're here tonight and you are lost, and I pray that you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today, who can deliver you from the sin of bitterness, listen, we live in a very bitter world, don't we? We can just look around and see all the bitterness of people getting mad at somebody. "I'll get you back." It's not forgiveness, it's revenge. You hurt me, guess what? I'm going to hurt you more. And that's the world we live in. But that should not be the attitude of us as Christians. Listen to what Romans chapter 3, 14, "whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness." That's the world. So tonight, let me give you some things bitterness will do to your life. But before we get started, I need somebody to help me. David Striegel, I appreciate you volunteering. Come on up here. Yeah, come on up, my friend. I appreciate Brother David. Hey, buddy. Brother David called me today. And he said, "Brother Earl, I'm praying for you." And I appreciate that. Brother Dave, I want you to do something. I have here, this is the biggest book I have, Strong's Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible. We wanted to be spiritual about this, okay? So Brother Dave, I want you to take this, and I want you to just kind of hold it out just like that. And I want you to stand right over there, okay? Because I don't want you to be in the wet zone over here, in the splash zone. Okay, now I want you got to hold it out straight. Yeah, there you go. Don't let the arms bow. Now, is that too heavy? Because I've got something else if that's not, because I want it to be exhaustive. There it is right there, exhaustive, okay? You think you got that? You sure? Because I got a backup plan if we don't. You think you can handle that?
Bring it on.
Okay. Well, that didn't work. That didn't work too well. So I'll just let you hold that. Okay, now don't let that go. You keep that where it is, okay? So let me tell you some things about bitterness, okay? First of all, number one, if you're right taking notes, and I hope you do, this will be a good help for you. Number one is this. Bitterness will devastate you spiritually. Let me say it again. Bitterness will devastate you spiritually. Now don't make sure you got that, okay? Why will it devastate you spiritually? There are two reasons why. Number one is bitterness necessitates that you walk in the flesh and not in the spirit. All right? All Christians have a choice every day. We have a choice every day to either take a step in the spirit or take a step in the flesh. That's a choice that all of us have every day. The Bible says, "Walk in the spirit and ye shall not fulfill" what? Say it with me. "The lust of the flesh." All right? So we have that choice. We have that determination of where we're going to step. Ken Collier said this years ago. There are two choices on the shelf: pleasing God or pleasing self. And we've got to make that choice. We can't control what happens in life, but we can control how we respond to it. And if you have unresolved bitterness in your life, you're not right with God tonight. And you're not walking in the spirit, but you're walking in the flesh. Right. Now listen, as Brother Rule said, I like what he said, "My name is Earl and I'm your friend." And that's true, okay? But we have a decision of how we respond. The Bible says, and here's a proof. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And these are the things that hold you back as long as you're bitter. You're not going to have all these the fruits of the Spirit if you're harboring bitterness. You're not going to have any peace. You're not going to have any long-suffering. If you had long-suffering, you'd give them some grace. And if you think about how much you've been forgiven by Christ, it would make it easier to forgive somebody else yourself. Amen. Even if they don't forgive, even if they don't deserve it. Right. It didn't say anything whether they deserve it or not. No, it says that we are to forgive whether they deserve it or not. Why? It's not because of them, it's because of us. Amen. And that's something we've got to remember. By the way, can I just say this? We don't deserve forgiveness. You doing all right over there? Okay. And by the way, here it is. When we don't deserve forgiveness, that is meekness. Meekness is not weakness. And we've got to remember that listen, when we realize that we need to forgive, don't let that down. Okay. Listen, when you decide that you're going to show grace, you can take someone off your hit list if you're walking in the Spirit. You know, even the very next chapter of Galatians, chapter 6, tells us, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall reap what? Corruption. Now, y'all keep an eye on him. Okay? Because listen, bitterness will devastate you spiritually. And holding on to bitterness is walking in the flesh, sowing to the flesh, and it's going to eat you up inside. Are you listening to me? Don't. So not only does it necessitate to walk in the Spirit, because bitterness halts our spiritual growth altogether. If you're bitter, you're halting your spiritual growth. Growing in grace is not an instantaneous process. It's a lifelong series of taking steps. And that's, the Bible mentions a lot about taking steps. Isn't that right? Walk. That's what walking is, taking steps. Listen, you can grow a squash in 6 weeks, but it takes 100 years to grow an oak tree. How many of you want to grow in grace? I know I do. And if you want to stop, he is messing up my illustration. Why don't we switch? No, let's not do that. But the question is, are you in bondage to bitterness? Number two, bitterness will destroy you physically. Bitterness will destroy you physically. And let me say this. Bitterness is like a constantly running machine. It's not an occurrence, it's a lifestyle. It enters into your subconscious mind and begins to run while you sleep, while you live, while you eat, while you watch TV, while you talk to a friend, it continues growing. That's why it says that we are to put away wrath even before the sun goes down. Is that right? That's what turns into. And let me say this. Medical doctors say bitterness will affect your body and it will affect your physical health just like his. But listen to this. One psychologist said this, 90% of all people in insane asylums could be released immediately if they would learn how to forgive or how to be forgiven. Now, I'm not saying that bitterness is the source of all physical ailments. I'm not saying that. Don't quote me on that. But let me say this. Bitterness does affect our physical health.
Amen, brother.
You're almost done, okay? Number three, bitterness will discourage you emotionally. Bitterness will discourage you emotionally. Where there's bitterness, there's discouragement. Why? Because bitterness leads to paranoia. You start to develop a victim's mentality. And you begin to think that everyone's out to get you. And listen, I'm not out to get you. Mm-hmm. Okay? Yeah. But I want you to listen to me. Paranoia will even allow someone who goes to a football game and look out there in the football field and notice that they're huddled, and they'll think that they're talking about them. Or someone in church, there'll be a group of people over standing and maybe they're just looking up and seeing who's around, and they happen to catch your eye, and you think that they're talking about you. You know, I really do like coming up and saying, "Hi guys, how are y'all doing today?" Listen, a lot of us think that bitterness is not a big deal. Now, David, you've done a great job. You can stop.
Thanks, brother.
You bet. I love you. Now, I've got a point, but listen, go enjoy some coffee on me. All right? But here's the point I want you to understand. Some of you minimize the seriousness of that little bit of bitterness. And you may say, "That's really not a problem to me. I think I had him hold that for about 20 minutes. 15, 20 minutes, it seemed like an eternity, didn't it?" But let me say this. If you hold on long enough to your bitterness, it's going to drop your spiritual arms in discouragement. That's the point. In fact, look back in verse number 12 of chapter 12. It says, lift up the hands which hang down. What's it talking about? It's just talking about discouragement. And it will affect you emotionally. So are you tonight in bondage to bitterness? Number four, bitterness will divide the fellowship. And when I'm talking about the fellowship, I can talk to you in a lot of different ways about the fellowship. It could be the church. It could be the family. It could be a number of things which could be the fellowship. But let me just say this. God has been very good to hear at Worth, very good to us here at Worth Baptist Church. Amen. Would you agree?
Amen.
The momentum is moving in a good, steady direction. Praise the Lord. But if you want that to stop, you just harbor bitterness for someone else who's here. Don't do it. Don't do it. We're all human, and at times we'll give each other reason to be offended. And most of the time, it's unintentional. And don't let the devil have an advantage over you. And I'm not trying to be unkind, but sometimes, folks, we just need to grow up. We really do.
Amen.
And just get over it. And remember that you and I don't deserve God's forgiveness. And even if they don't deserve yours, it's still the right thing to do, and grant it to them. Listen, the Bible says in Proverbs 18:19, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like bars of a castle. Proverbs 13:10 tells us, only by pride cometh contention. What is contention? That's fightings and wars. That's what contentions are. But with the well-advised is wisdom. Psalm 119 verse 165. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them.
Amen.
You know, I've had the opportunity to be in ministry for about 40 years. I know I don't look that old. But I'm just going to be honest with you. I've been lied to. I've been lied about. I've been criticized falsely. My motives have been judged. And by the way, the only person that's reserved for my motives is really the Lord Himself. My sincerity has been questioned. But I've learned this, that spiritual maturity begs me to let it go each time because it's expected if you're doing what is right. And I believe there's bigger things to focus on. And I'm not willing to take my eyes off the real go. And what is the real go? The real go is to do what? To please the Lord. Whether therefore we eat or drink or whatsoever we do, do all to the glory of God. God's my defender. And He'll be yours if you'll just let it go. Amen. Don't take it in your own hands. Put it in the Lord's. Yes. And God sometimes allows us to hurt. And then when God allows us to hurt, we have a decision to make. Are we going to be bitter or are we going to be better? Are we going to be bitter toward somebody else or even bitter at God? Are we going to say, Lord, there's a purpose on why this is happening to me. I'm just going to trust you and I know you're going to lead me to the other side as Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding, to my understanding. In all thy ways do what? Acknowledge him and what will he do? He'll direct my path. But the thing is that we've got to trust Him. Leave it in God's hands, who is the great physician, and not by taking it into our own hands. Listen, imagine a skilled potter at work. The potter takes a lump of clay and begins to shape it on the wheel. The clay is soft, it's pliable, but as the potter works, the clay sometimes resists. The imperfections begin to appear. The potter doesn't just take the clay and throws it away. No, what does he do? He patiently works through those imperfections and then he molds it into the shape of a very beautiful vessel. In our lives, we are like the clay, aren't we? We experience hurts. We experience disappointments. We experience challenges that can leave us really broken and imperfect. But just as a potter doesn't give up on the clay, God doesn't give up on us. He uses our hurts to shape us, to mold us into His way, to His mold, to our character, to prepare us for His purposes, not ours. Consider the story of Joseph in the Bible. Joseph was betrayed by his brothers. He was sold into slavery and he was unjustly imprisoned. Yet through all those hurts, God was at work. Isn't that right? He used Joseph's trials to prepare him for a position of great responsibility and ultimately saving many lives during a famine that they were having. But notice this, Joseph didn't allow bitterness to bind him. Joseph did not allow bitterness to put him into bondage, to making him a prisoner. Listen, our hurts can feel overwhelming, but let me give you some good news tonight. We can trust God that He is the master potter. Amen. And He sees the bigger picture and knows how to use our pain for our good and for His glory. When we surrender our hurts to Him, I got good news for you. He can transform them into something beautiful and something purposeful. Aren't you glad for that? Let me tell you tonight that Christ wants to set you free. He wants to set you free. He wants to set you free. Number five, bitterness will defile your relationships. You know, there's what is called a spillover effect. And I've really seen it personally what bitterness will do to relationships. You know, you don't have to be bitter toward your spouse to ruin your marriage. You can actually be bitter towards somebody else, and it can ruin your marriage. You can be bitter toward your mom or your dad or a friend and destroy your marriage. And you can even be bitter toward anybody else and ruin a relationship with your child. It doesn't make any difference who's. And that is because of what is called the spillover effect. Be sure that bitterness toward anyone living or dead will destroy your relationships with God and others. Let it go. Let it go. And finally tonight, Last, bitterness will deprive you of a blessing. Don't miss this. Please don't miss this. Bitterness will deprive you of a blessing. You know what? If you come in here Sunday and you bring a negative, critical spirit with you, you won't be looking for a blessing. In fact, you'll be looking for things that's wrong. And by the way, you'll find it. The devil will help you find it. I think I've heard pastors say this. You know, preparation for Sunday doesn't begin at 11 o'clock. It doesn't even begin at 10 o'clock. It begins when you wake up. Heard that joke about the mom and dad who's fighting all the way to church. The kids are yelling and screaming all over the place in the back seat, and mom and dad are just letting each other have it on the way to church, and then they get out of the car and like everything is okay. And some of you are talking to your husbands and wives right now. No, I'm just kidding. But isn't that true? Worship ought to begin when we wake up Sunday. And by the way, it just shouldn't happen on Sunday. It really ought to happen on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. Why? Because we ought to be constantly worshiping the Lord, shouldn't we? It's really what we ought to be. Don't let it rob you of a blessing. So how do we remove bitterness? Well, look in verse number 15. It says this. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any, what's the word? Root of bitterness springing up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You can only remove a weed by pulling up by its roots. And there's only one way. You got to yank it up by the root. By the grace of God, you cannot do it yourself. You've got to have God to help you. So how do we get victory over bitterness? Now listen, nobody has come to me and said, hey, did you know so-and-so is bitter? Phil, be honest with you, I haven't noticed anybody being bitter. Bitter is not necessarily something that just shows up, even though eventually it does show up on the outside. We talked about physical things, but more it's an inside thing. And you may be harboring some bitterness in your heart. And because of the message tonight, maybe you realize that it has stunted your growth in your Christian life. Can I just give you some encouragement tonight? First of all, confess it as sin and repent of it. Confess it, repent. Root it out of your life. Renew your mind with Scripture. Obey God. And I'm reminded in Exodus chapter 15, the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea. They were thirsty. They were murmuring against Moses. You remember the story. And the Bible says they came to a place called Marah. And you'll remember that from Ruth. You remember the story there? And they murmured against Moses, and they were murmuring against God too. But what did God tell Moses to do to heal the bitter waters? You remember the story? God told Moses to cut down a tree and then take a part of that tree and put it into the waters, and then guess what? They were healed. You remember the story? Can I say this? The only hope for the bitter water slushing around your soul is for them to come in contact with another tree, and that is the tree of the cross of Jesus Christ. That'll heal it. That'll heal it. The gospel of Jesus Christ will take care of your bitterness. God's doing something great here, amen? I'm so thankful to be part of it, aren't you? I love our church, don't you? Amen. I love what God's doing, don't you? Amen. I'm excited about what God is seeing souls saved on a regular basis down here at this altar, aren't you? I'm glad and excited about seeing people baptized and going through discipleship and seeing people grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, aren't you?
Amen.
Please don't allow bitterness for any reason into your heart. Let the cross of Jesus Christ heal you tonight. Heads bowed, eyes closed. We've had some fun tonight laughing at David. But more importantly, I think it's kind of funny that we'll allow a message like this to hear it, but yet we'll still harbor some bitterness in our heart. Now, I haven't mentioned anything tonight specifically about anything or anyone, but I know that the Holy Spirit has spoken to somebody's heart tonight, or maybe several people. The Holy Spirit has spoken to my heart. If I've studied this week, I look back in moments that I could have been bitter about some things, and I decided, you know what? I'm not going to be bitter. I'm going to be better. But what are you bitter about tonight? And maybe you're not bitter, but you're angry about something. And by the way, anger is the first step to bitterness if it's not resolved. Maybe you're angry about something. Maybe somebody cut you off in traffic, and maybe you haven't got some things right, and you need to come down the altar tonight and confess that and get that right. However God's spoken to you, do business with the Lord tonight. Let's stand. Father, we're so thankful for the message and so thankful that, Lord, you've helped us remember that how devastating and destroying bitterness can be. I pray that all of us would examine our hearts tonight, see if there's some bitterness springing up that we haven't taken care of. We'll give you glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen.